You can turn in your Bibles to Luke 7. That's where we're going to begin today, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 7. I am becoming what He's made me to be. At the beginning of the year, we brought out the scripture that says, as you really are. In 1 Corinthians 5, He says, get rid of the leaven from your life, that you may be a lump of dough without leaven, four powerful words in the NIV, as you really are. Yeah. Did you know as you really are, when you look in the mirror, don't see yourself where you're at. You'll see yourself in progress. You'll see yourself under construction. But the word declares as you really are, who you are. We're going to learn more about that after the new year. I think we're going to get into the righteousness of God for quite a bit. We may just camp on that for a while. Yeah. But as you really are, God has made us righteous in Christ Jesus. That's who we really are. Amen. When we look in the mirror, it's powerful, the mirror of His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the Holy Spirit here to teach us, to lead us into all truth. Lord, we look to You to be our guide. Open our ears, open our eyes, and we receive the Word of God today in our life, and let it bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say this about church. When you come to church, there's something very powerful that happens. Your spirit is receiving the Word of God. And that's so, so powerful. The word church actually comes from a Greek word, ekklesia. Ekklesia. And originally it was not a religious term. It was a term that had to do with government. Did you know this? Ekklesia was a body of people called out separate, like government representatives in Athens, in Greece, back in the day. The ekklesia were the voice of the people. Are you with me? They were a called out body of people set to govern or to rule as the voice. You know, we have the voice on television, right? The voice. These great singers and such. The voice. Jesus has called you to be a part of the voice in the earth. You and I are called to be His voice in the earth. When you come to church, I speak what the Holy Spirit gives me to declare to you. You hear it. It comes into your spirit. And then you go out these doors and you go into the world and you proclaim the voice. You become, in effect, the governing body of the world around you. Did you know the church is meant to rule? There's a prophecy about Jesus that says, rule in the midst of your enemies. Yes. We're called to rule in the midst of our enemies. And how do you rule? You receive the word of God and you just let it seep out of you. Amen. Someone at work pushes your button the right way and the word of God comes out of you. No, the word says this, and you echo what God says to you because you heard it here. You heard it first here at Believers Fellowship. You heard the word of God, not my opinions, my thoughts, my, you know, whatever, my grandiose ideas. It's the word of God. You are called to be the ecclesia, the voice out there. So let's look at Luke 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Luke 7, 11. It came to pass that day that he went into a city. Jesus went to a city called Nain, a town with a small name. But oh, what a big day this was about to be. His disciples and a large crowd went along with him. They thought, hey, this is just another day. Let's just follow Jesus wherever he goes. He's just such an amazing guy. You never know what he's going to do next. And Jesus starts walking toward this city called Nain. And it says, as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out. Just another day in the life. For this community here in Nain, it was just another death. Because death fills our days, right? You know, every other day or week or month, or somebody dies around us. It's part of the world we live in. But this was to be like no other day, because Jesus came to town. Aren't you glad? Amen. Jesus came to town. Yeah. And Jesus was led by the Holy Ghost to come to the city gate. I love the way the word says it. Let's back up and read it again slowly. I'm going to read in the NIV. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person, and I'll put these words in here, just happened to be being carried out at that moment. But listen to the situation. These are the details behind the scenes. He was the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. In my Bible, I wrote this phrase, sorrow upon sorrow. Jesus went right to where the worst pain was. How many of you know Jesus knows where to find pain? Amen. And the Holy Ghost led Jesus to the gates, city gates of Nain on this day. The disciples were, for all they knew, he was going to break more bread and feed them another Happy Meal. No, Jesus had a mission by the Holy Ghost, and he comes to a funeral procession. She was a widow, and a large crowd from the town was with her. Verse 13, when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, don't cry. Why did he say don't cry? Something inside him. He already knew, the Holy Spirit knew, you're going to raise this boy from the dead. So he saw what was about to happen. Therefore, he could look at her and say, party time. Get ready to celebrate, mama. And what happens? He went up. Yeah, I love this. Oh, this is so powerful. Can you picture this in your mind? He went up and touched the coffin. Amen. Those carrying it stood still. Now, pause for a moment. That's powerful. You got a funeral procession going on. How many of you know when you're on the highway and the funeral procession's coming up the road either behind you or beside you, what do? You pull over, right? You see those headlights in your rearview mirror, you pull over. You turn your lights on too out of reverence. You make way. Jesus didn't make way. He became the way. He stepped into the way. He halts the funeral procession. Puts his hand on the coffin. And he does it with such gentleness but such authority as the creator of this boy who's lying in the coffin. The very one who spoke his flesh into being originally. He does it with such authority. He doesn't yell, stop. He just puts his hand on the coffin. And the guys carrying the coffin sense such an authority coming from this man, Jesus, that he would stop this funeral procession, and he must know what he's doing. Maybe he's a relative. Maybe they forgot to put something in the coffin. Maybe, you know, the boy's favorite garment or, whatever. But they stop. And Jesus stands there for a bit, and then he begins to speak. Aren't you glad when Jesus speaks? Young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead man sat up. And he began to talk. Now, I like to imagine what he would say. What happened to those beautiful flowers? That amazing place? The sunlight from God's face that I just saw? What is this awful smell around here? All this body odor of this crowd around this funeral procession? What is... Oh, no, I'm back on earth. Because everybody I've ever heard stories of that have left glory and come back, oh, they're mad. They want to go back immediately. This says he got up and he began to talk. So you can kind of imagine what he might have said. I'm not saying that's what he said, but to come from there back to here. He began to talk and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe. Did it say fear in one of the translations? Oh, man. Okay, I think he got it wrong. Awe. A-W-E. Shock and awe. And praise God. I'm sure there was some fear among them. You know, it's you don't normally talk to the dead. I mean, funerals, it can be a bit of an eerie environment to be around the dead. But not for Jesus. Amen. He is the resurrection and the life. And they were filled with awe and praised God and said, a great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people. This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. This was a miracle. And as we learned last week, miracles are God's intervention in the natural course of things, of nature, right? The working of miracles. That's what Jesus did right here. He worked a miracle. He stopped a funeral. And not just your average funeral, but the funeral of a widow who had just lost her only son. It doesn't get any worse than that, folks. That was the most sad funeral you could attend. It's a woman who had lost her husband and then lost her only son. And Jesus says, throws the brakes on, because God's good at bumping the record when it comes to the course of nature. A working of miracles in this event. And he shakes it up, doesn't he? Brother Joe Corey was here a month ago, and he mentioned the description of God living outside of time. God lives outside of time. So God can step into time, he can bump time, he can stretch time, he can shorten time, he can warp time. That's who God is, because he's the eternal God. And that's the beauty of working of miracles. divine intervention. If you saw the movie Interstellar, which I wasn't crazy about, but it was okay. But it was kind of weird. But it had to do with time warps and things like that, you know. But it's a good picture of what happens when a miracle happens. A miracle shakes up the natural order of things. It messes with time. It wasn't this boy's time to die. And Jesus shook it up. He wakes him up and he gives him back to his mother. So she doesn't have to endure such sorrow. Isn't that good? Isn't that the heart of Jesus? He loves the sorrowful. He loves those that are suffering. Did you know when Lazarus died, Jesus waited intentionally till the fourth day? Do you know why Jesus waited 4 days? Jewish tradition says that a deceased person's spirit remains around the body for up to 3 days after death before departing. That's Jewish tradition. How many of you know Jewish people are very, very rooted in tradition? And whoever started that little thought, you know. But it was well known in Israel some 2,000 years ago that someone deceased could have possibly come back to life during this 3-day period, but not afterwards. So why did Jesus wait till the fourth day? Wreck tradition. Make sure he's not just mostly dead, he's completely dead. To quote from Princess Bride, he's not mostly dead, he's just mostly dead. No, he was dead, dead. And in fact, in the Israeli heat, you know, when you go to Israel with us on our next trip, you'll see it's hot there and bodies would decay very quickly. So by fourth day, those sisters were being very kind and gentle to Jesus' olfactory senses that, Lord, don't open the tomb. Trust us. You don't want that smell to come out here where we're at. It would not be pretty because this is day 4. We're sure he's completely dead. And Jesus goes, I know it. I know he's completely dead. That's why I'm doing this. Roll the stone away. That's a working of miracle. Well, we could camp on that forever, but praise the Lord. Acts 2. We're not talking about miracles today. We're actually talking about gifts of healings. But I want to kick it off with Acts 2:22. We read this verse last week, and it bears repeating. Men of Israel, are you there? Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man, I love the NIV here, accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. There's no denying, you Jewish people, Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Even if he only did that one miracle in his whole lifetime or his whole 3 years of ministry, enough to make you believe is what Peter's saying here. Jesus was accredited through miracles. And we said last week, listen, saints, you and I are not to go out into the world and argue people into this faith we call Christianity. Amen. We're called to bring it. Amen. To bring the miracle-working power of God, signs, wonders, and miracles. How many of you are believers in here? Lift up your hand. Amen. Jesus said in Mark 16, believers, these signs shall follow you. Healings and miracles. It's meant to follow you and I. We don't have to argue them in. We can do the wonders. And it says here in Acts 2, Jesus was accredited by these miracles that he performed. He was accredited. Well, we're going to talk about gifts of healing, so let's quickly go over to 1 Corinthians 12, our key passage here as we wind down this series. This is the last one. Can you believe it? Last of the 9 gifts. We've been on this series for months, and I'm enjoying it. I could start it all over again. How about you? It's just so good because it just tells me... This is who we are. We were born for the supernatural. We were born to do all these things, saints. This is meant to be, this is normal Christianity. I love Todd White's slogan for his, you know, his ministry and his t-shirts. Normal Christianity? Lifestyle Christianity. Yeah, and this is our lifestyle right here. What we've been talking about all these months. The gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Won't you read there with me? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:7. Let's begin there. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So when the gifts of the Spirit come forth, what are they? They are the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's as if Jesus himself were here. If Jesus were here, what would he do? If the Holy Spirit were here, the fact or the evidence of the Holy Spirit being present on the scene gives way. It manifests in this way. Look here. It manifests to the common good, to one the working... I'm getting ahead of myself. Excuse me. Back up, Scott. To one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. I'm going to read it in the King James. I like it better there. Word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, interpretations of tongues. These all work that one and the selfsame Spirit divides to every man severally as he wills. Amen? Now, today, because we're covering the gifts of healings, which is both plural, gifts and healings, we're going to cover this last gift today. Look down also in verse 28. Verse 28 says this, "And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings." You notice there it's in the plural, both words, gifts of healings, right? Okay, now skip down to verse 30. "Have all the gifts of healing." Now in the King James, they went back to plural singular. Gifts plural, healing singular. In the original Greek, all three verses, back in verse, what was it, 10? 9. Get where it said gifts of healing in the King James. It was singular there on the word healing. And then, let me say it this way. In the Greek, all three verses that mention this phrase, gifts of healing, they're plural in all three passages. Amen. Gifts of healings.
That's right.
It's plural, plural. You with me? All three verses. And you can verify that. I verified it. Go to blueletterbible.com. Look it up in the Young's literal translation, because that's as close as you'll get to the original Greek. Young's was a Greek scholar. And he also defines all three verses in that phrase, gifts of healings. And I think this is probably one of those gifts that's least understood, one of the least understood gifts in the nine. I mean, I'm going to make it clear to you today how it works. I'm going to talk about the plural aspect in just a minute, but let me start by saying this. The definition of the gift of healing is this. Gifts of healings are manifested for the supernatural healing of sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Let me read that again. Gifts of healings are manifested for the supernatural healing, not natural healing. Now, we know there's natural healing, right? As a kid growing up, you took baby aspirin, kid aspirin. Pepto-Bismol. There's some things that will help you heal up naturally. The gifts of healings operate supernatural, apart from the natural. And they deal with sickness and disease without any natural source or means. Some people have said traditionally, you know, doctors are a gift of healing. People have actually tried to downplay the gifts of the Spirit and say, doctors are today's modern version of the gifts of healing. No. Doctors are a gift to mankind. Would you not agree? Good doctors, I should say. Not quacks, quack, quack. Not quacks. Good doctors are a gift to mankind, but they are not the same as the Holy Spirit gifts of healings.
That's right.
Modern medicine is not the gifts of healings. Modern medicine is a glorious thing. I'm amazed at what they can do. It's astounding, no doubt. But it's not the same as the gifts of healings from the Holy Spirit. Think of it this way. The gift of healing is this. The Holy Spirit makes you whole. As simple as that. No other means, not medicine, not doctors, not this, not that, not a day's rest, not, you know, more aspirin, whatever. The Holy Spirit makes you whole. Ain't it great? No side effects.
Amen.
No big doctor's bill, no copay. The Holy Spirit makes you whole.
Amen.
Simple as that. Is that easy or what?
Yeah.
Look over in Acts chapter 27. Acts 27, verse 8. We've covered this passage quite a bit, the old shipwreck. It's a really amazing story. If you haven't read the whole story, go back and read the whole chapter. We don't have time for the whole chapter. But look in Acts 27. Paul's on his way to Rome. He gets shipwrecked. Paul could have written a great book. what an adventure. And he did. Two-thirds of the New Testament. But look in Acts 27, verse 8. Oh, that's not right. No. Well, that's the storm. They get ashore. Oh, here we go. I'm sorry. Verse 28. Excuse me. Chapter 28, verse 7. All right. They get ashore on this island called Malta. We're not going to read about it. I told you, you got to read it yourself. Go read the shipwreck story yourself. Chapter 28, verse 7. There was an estate nearby that belonged to Publius, the chief official of the island. And he welcomed us to his home and for 3 days entertained us hospitably. Verse 8. His father, chapter 28, verse 8. His father was sick in bed, suffering from fever and dysentery. Ever had dysentery? Oh, I've had something close to it. I won't describe it for you.
Thank you.
But I've been to Mexico on mission trips. It's not pretty. But this guy had this. He had the full-blown version. Okay, I've never had it that bad. But he had dysentery. Dysentery is where your body, you just can't hold food. And it just goes and goes. Then Paul went in to see him, and after prayer, he placed his hands on him and healed him. And when this had happened, the rest of the sick on the island came and were cured. They honored us in many ways, and when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. There's your doctor bill paid. They said, hey, the doctor would have cost $10,000 to do this. We'll just pay, you know, give you some new oars for your boat. So they got a good deal out of that, right? So Paul lays his hands on this man who's the father of the island chief. Now, the Holy Ghost has a way, doesn't he?
Yes.
He does have a way. And history shows that there are a lot of churches that sprang up on that island years and years after that. Did you know that? You can see it and drive through history, the book of Acts to Revelation. You could go watch that series on TBN, and it'll show how the island of Malta was forever touched because of this visit by Paul. Dysentery is a bad thing, trust me. And whoever gets healed of dysentery, they want to give gifts.
Yeah.
But notice something interesting. Did you know who else was on board the ship during this shipwreck? Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, who also wrote the Gospel of Luke. He was a physician by trade. It doesn't tell us in this story that Dr. Luke got some herbs and spices together and just the right medicine and got this guy cured of dysentery. No, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were in operation through Paul.
Amen.
Luke had to take a back seat here. Thank God for doctors. Amen? Amen? Thank God for what they can do. But there's times the doctor just can't cut it.
Yes.
And that's when you need the gifts of healings. And that's what Paul brought to the table. And he healed the man, and the island was forever shaken. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? So in that story, we see doctors and we see the gifts of healings. Which is greater? The Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit makes you whole, it's a great thing. Now, back to this multiplied multiplicities thing. Okay, we got gifts of healings. Right? Multiples, you know, plural and plural. Why gifts of healings? Did you know of the nine gifts, there's no other gift that's mentioned in the plural like this. It's gifts of healings. And scholars agree, modern scholars, men of God who have been used through the working of the Holy Spirit, they agree on this one point. And they don't fully understand it, and there's no other description given in the Bible about it, but hey, if they're scholars, these guys are above me, I'm going to agree with them. And they agree that this is the way this gift manifests. The reason why it's plural, gifts of healings, is that it appears that the Holy Spirit, in his dispersing of these gifts, gives some men of God specialities, if you will. They are like doctor specialists. Some are better at healing tumors than others. Some are great at healing broken bones, but can't seem to get a tumor healed one. Some can open blind eyes, but can't do a thing for deaf people. Why? Because there are gifts of healings that have been distributed as the Holy Spirit wills to different men and women of God. I'll include the women as well. Yeah, there's no gender in Christ. And men and women of God who are used by God to bring healing of all kinds.
Amen.
Think of it. As many diseases as there are, as many conditions as there are, we need gifts, plural, of healings. Amen? How many of you know there are diverse kinds of illnesses? Therefore, the Holy Spirit knows that, and he gives diverse kinds of gifts. Now, these are gifts not given to you, but given to the minister who brings them to you.
Amen.
Are you with me? So when you leave a church service, if God heals your body, you don't say, "Well, today I got a gift. I got a gifts of healing." Well, yeah, you were gifted with healing, but the gifts of healing, if they manifested through a minister of God, it's more about this description is defined more of the person who's been given this gift of special healing in an area than it does just the healing that's given to you. Let me read it this way. I don't want to be confusing. It's not describing a ministry of healing given to you, but rather a ministry of healing given to you to bless others. If it's you we're talking about. If you've been given the gifts of healings in a particular area, it's a gift that's given to you to give to others. Are you with me? In other words, God has tapped you on the shoulder and said, "You're a specialist with blind eyes. You're a specialist with stomach issues. You're a specialist with broken bones." The Holy Spirit does this as he wills. Now, how come he breaks it up like this? Why does he spread the gifts around? Because not one man contains it all.
That's right.
God has set the body of Christ so that we have to depend on the gifts that are among us. Amen. Aren't you glad?
That's right.
No one man has it all.
That's right.
So when it comes to these unique healing ministry gifts, it is about people being tapped by the Holy Ghost. Now look in John chapter 3, John 3:34. He describes Jesus in a way that's slightly different from us. Quite different, actually. John 3:34. In the King James, it says this, and this is a description of Jesus. It says, "He whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." All right, let's read it in a modern translation. "The one whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God gives the Spirit without limit." When Jesus walked the earth in his 3 years of earthly ministry, he was given the Holy Spirit without limit. No limits. In other words, Jesus had all the gifts of healings working through him for any case, any illness, any ailment that came across his way, because he's the Son of God. When he's ascended to heaven, he now has given gifts to men, and those gifts manifest as gifts of healings given to men and women. Okay, you're all combined under the same. Given to the body of Christ in certain areas. People are gifted with a gift of healing to give to others. Maybe it may be open blind eyes, deaf ears, etc., as I just shared earlier. But look at another verse, Matthew 4:23. This is why it's said of Jesus in Matthew 4:23. When it describes his healing ministry, it says, "He went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people." Jesus had the Holy Spirit without limit. Can you say that with me? Without limit. No limits. So no matter what came across his path, he healed all manner of disease, all manner of sicknesses. Now, this is not meant to engender doubt in you when someone comes across your path and they need healing. It's just about knowing your place. We can all pray the general prayer of healing for anybody, any case. Amen?
Amen.
But these, when we're talking about the nine gifts of the Spirit, this particular gift, the gifts of healings, these are given to people as a specialty in an area that God anoints them for to work in the gift of healing. Okay, are you with me? Okay, so don't hesitate to pray for blind eyes. Don't hesitate to pray for broken bones. Don't hesitate to pray for anything and exercise your faith. But just know where the Holy Spirit's directed you. If he's tapped you and said, you're definitely gifted in this, then know that and be confident in that. Amen. And by the way, the ones that have been gifted in this, and I'm talking about in modern times, in the last 100 years, men and women of God who have been used by God in this particular gifting, they have also known that when it came to certain ailments, they just almost wouldn't pray for it.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't see the results. So they were gifted, they were anointed for a special, strong a ministry of healing in a particular area, and they stayed in their lane. How many of you know it's important to stay in your lane?
Amen.
Stay where the Lord's directed you. Stay where he's gifted you. Know your limitations. Amen? But Jesus knew no limits. That's why it was said of him, he healed all manner of diseases, all manner of sicknesses. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Aren't you glad? Well, here's the good news, because like I said, this should not make us feel like we're missing something, but that we need something. We need the body of Christ.
Yes.
We need all the gifts. And you can be assured if you're a part of a local church that believes in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we do, God's going to anoint people in this room so that we got all the bases covered. Aren't you glad?
Yes.
And I believe in every local church, every base can be covered.
Yes.
If we got blind eyes and need to see them healed, God will anoint someone for blind eyes and bring it. But, okay, more to say on that at the end. We're getting there. Let me say this, in the differences between the gifts of healings, plural, and the working of miracles, because we talked about miracles last week. And again, these two gifts work real close to each other, but sometimes people get them confused. Let me give you a clear description that will help you keep the two gifts separated, okay? Are you with me?
Amen.
We're almost done. Stay with me. Healing repairs what is there. Healing repairs what is there. In the piano business, many times pianos are built incredible. They're incredibly durable. And most problems that come up in a piano, Robert can tell you, because he's a piano man, they can tell you, more often than not, you don't have to replace parts. It's just something's gotten a little out of whack because we live in a humid Houston, and you know the humidity gets in there, and wood, leather, and felt, they all kind of twist and warp and shape, and you get a sticky note, or you get a key that acts sluggish. More often than not, I tell customers this often, we don't have to replace a part, it's just adjusting what's there. So in the same way, healing fixes what's there, okay? If my arm's sore, I don't need a new arm. I just need to fix what's there. If I've got a disease on my arm, it's making my skin flare up, you know, I got a rash, I need repaired what's there. Don't give me a new arm. This one's fine. It's not at its best, okay? So gifts of healings manifest to repair what's there. However, working of miracles comes to create what's missing. If I'm missing my arm, what do I need? A gift of healing? No. I need a working of miracles. A working of miracles. And in a working of miracles, the creative power of God is released, as it was in the beginning, to form us to begin with. It's released in our body to give or create what's missing. Okay? And back in the days of Azusa Street, how many of you have heard of Azusa Street? It happened 100 years ago. We're almost at just over 100 years ago. Out on the West Coast in California, there was a little area, and there was a street called Azusa Street. These Christians met in a warehouse for 3 years, almost 4 years. And the anointing of God fell day after day after day. They saw amazing miracles for 3 years. People would say at night, and we had a book on our book table, right? We still got any of those?
One left.
One left. One left. Is it on the table today?
It's not on the table.
Fetch it before the service is out.
Amen.
Someone's going to go home and be inspired by that one book. It's so powerful. This African-American man named Daddy Seymour, his nickname was Daddy Seymour, a man stood before him. This happened more than once, but a man stood before him. A machine had taken his arm off. And God grew an arm.
That's it.
Right out of that shoulder socket. Right there.
Right.
Boom.
Amen.
Teeth grew in people's mouths. Leg, a man came up one time, was cut off at the knee. God grew him a new leg. He was coming up for healing because there was gangrene developing around his kneecap. And Daddy Seymour said, "Why are you wanting the healing? How about we just finish it out?" And he's just really, he moved in the gift, the working of miracles.
Yeah.
And God grew the man a leg right there in front of people.
Amen.
Happened all the time for 3 years. Guess what, folks? It's coming again.
Amen.
It's coming again. Because you're hearing the word. Your faith is being built for what? Working in miracles,
yes.
Gifts of healings. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Somebody's going to walk away with that book today. In the working of miracles, it's as if God allows a man or woman to handle, I like this word handle, to handle the creative power of God. It's so powerful. The working of miracles is an ability to handle, like you would handle electricity. Electricity is very powerful. And it's like for a moment, God allows a person here on earth, a minister that he taps, because we read in 1 Corinthians 12, as he wills, the Holy Spirit enables that person to work a miracle, to handle the creative power of God. And that's what we see in this beautiful story of Azusa Street years ago, and it's coming again. Let me say this. Sometimes the working of miracles can be used for blessing, most often for blessing. In the scriptures, we also see it was used for judgment. The same God who split the Red Sea blessed his people with a dry sidewalk, right?
Yes.
Into the promised land. Used the same miracle to crush and drown the soldiers of the Egyptian army.
Yes.
A. A. Allen was a man mightily used of God back in the day, back in the early 1900s. And there was a service in which a reporter had hired a guy. The reporter was just, he was eaten up with this thing that was going on down in the A. Allen services. And he said to himself, "These are phonies, and I'm going to prove it." And he hired a man to go down to the service and pretend he was blind. So he sent this man down there, and the guy came up in the prayer line at the end of the service when they did the healing line for people. And people were lined up there before A.A. Allen. And this man came up pretending to be blind, and he said, "Why are you here, sir?" And he said, "Well, I need the Lord to heal me." He said, "You need the Lord to heal you?" "Yes, I'm blind." And A.A. Allen said, "You're blind." "Yes, I'm blind. I need the Lord to heal me because I'm blind." And he says, "Are you really blind?" "I'm really blind." And A.A. Allen looked at him and said, "Then be it unto you according to your words."
Whoa.
And the man went blind. Sometimes the working of miracles is exercised for judgment.
Yeah.
It happened in the book of Acts, Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
It's happened in modern times. But more often than not, the good news, I'm going to step back over here to the good news. More often than not, the room just went, more often than not, the working of miracles is for the blessing of God's people. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. A couple of final thoughts. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, the believers will lay hands on the sick and they shall, the word that's used there starts with an R. You got it. They shall recover. I like that because you know what? It doesn't happen all at once. A miracle happens all at once. A healing happens as they go. Sometimes you'll come up for prayer in a service, you go back to your seat, you feel no different. Guess what? You're recovering.
Amen.
Recovery takes time.
Amen.
It's progressive. Miracles happen instantaneously. Mm-hmm. But healing happens progressively.
Amen.
Folks, we're not concerned about how it happens. We just want it to happen. Okay? So the gifts of healings, powerful, powerful gift given to the body of Christ. But we can also lay hands on the sick. If God hasn't tapped you and said, you're anointed for blind eyes, or you're anointed for this or that, go ahead and lay hands on the sick anyways and exercise your faith.
Yes.
And they may walk away. And in time, the Bible says in Luke, if you're taking notes, Luke 17, 14b, as they went, the 10 lepers, as they went to show themselves to the priest, as they went, the leprosy left their body.
Yes.
Sometimes as you leave church, you're being healed. Sometimes as you're going home, you're being healed. Sometimes days later. Hey, Keith, how's the shoulder? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot here.
I had a little bit of a setback, but I still played with it at night.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up jumping across the puddle and not hanging.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Well, we have laid hold of a phrase around here called setting it in motion. So it was set in motion that night. It will not be stolen. Amen. The healing happens as you go. Recovery takes time. It's a progress. Gifts of healings are amazing. There are people today in the body of Christ that have been tapped and God has made clear, made sure without a doubt, so-and-so is really good at healing such and such. So-and-so is really good at seeing this kind of disease or this kind of ailment instantaneously leave. That's a gifts of healings that the Lord has dispersed. However, you and I can still get healed the old-fashioned way,
amen,
which is believe in the Word of God.
Amen.
Simply believe in the Word of God. Kenneth Hagin, who is a great minister of God that we base a lot of teaching on around here, we echo a lot of his truth, his understanding in what we share here. Kenneth Hagin was a young teenager, had a really debilitating heart disease, was given up to die as a young 16-year-old boy, I believe it was, and he simply laid hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. Believe that you receive when you pray and you shall have it. He laid hold with his own faith, the truth, the promise of the Word of God, and he got his own healing. Folks, you can get your healing that way.
Amen.
Which is good news.
Amen.
If you can't get to the church house, if you can't get under the anointing of someone who's anointed with the gifts of healings in a particular area that you need, you can still get it the old-fashioned way.
Amen.
Believe the Word of God. Believe the promise of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's just stand together. What I feel to do as we close out today, I believe there's some folks here that you have desired, or lately you have been desiring, to be used in the gifts of healings. If that's you, I want you to don't waste any time. Just come running up here. We're going to pray over you this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit's going to release some giftings in the house. Maybe there's only one or two. You know, it's not everybody. I know it's not everybody. But if you say, Scott, this has been a burn. I have desired to be used in the gifts of healings in any given area just to bring healing to the sick. If that's you, I want you to line up. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to release that gift in you. And the Bible says he does it as he wills. Amen. What I've found in my own life is that where I've suffered the most, I want to bring healing to people in that area the most. Had some foot trouble when I was a young man. And one time I was, you know, reeling in pain. And I said, Lord, if you'll just take care of this, I'll be like Oral Roberts. I'll bring healing to the world. I mean, I just, you know, I made my vows. And I'm still standing on that today. And the Lord's done some wonderful things in my feet. But, you know, I believe some of you that are here, you're here because you've hurt. And you've had some pain. And the Lord's going to use that. He's going to use it as an impetus. Amen? He is going to anoint you. He is going to cause you to be a releaser, a bringer. How many of you want to bring it? Like P90X's slogan, bring it. You want to bring it to the world because there's some hurting people out there. And folks, oftentimes, like the scripture says, sometimes they've gone to the doctor over and over again and they are no better. And guess what? A spiritual healing can only take place in the spirit. I mean, if the devil's attacked you, the Bible says many times Jesus would deal with people, and it says a spirit of infirmity. There was a woman who was bowed down for 18 years, and Jesus lifted off of her a spirit of infirmity that had bound her. You and I are going to come across people who are dealing with what looks to be just, you know, an infection that won't go away, a bone that's just real sore and just won't heal. Listen, I'll tell you, it's kind of a telltale when the disease or the issue won't go away and has been treated. Guess what? It's probably spiritual. Amen? So lift your hands, please, if you're here to be prayed for. And we're just going to anoint you with oil. I'm just going to put the oil on you as a sign of the Holy Spirit coming on you in power. Amen? I want you to walk away receiving by faith whatever the Holy Spirit wants to give you today. Amen? And you'll be a releaser of this gift of healing to the world. Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, healings flow through our life like a river to bring life to those in need, to bring life to the hurting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Healing power flow through her hands, Jesus. Healing power, anointing now. Come on her, Jesus. By the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. Come on her now. Anoint her with fresh anointings in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Anointing for healing. Gifts of healings flowing. Workings of miracles. Working of miracles. Power flowing from these hands, Lord, to touch a world that's hurting and needs you, needs answers, needs the light. Hallelujah.